The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead in pairs to every town and every place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me is rejecting the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snake and scorpion and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's hear again those words from Paul. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." On this Independence Day weekend, I think our thoughts turn naturally to the topic of freedom. Patrick Henry in 1775 said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And from the Declaration of Independence in 1776, we hold these truths to be self-evident: that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When the Continental Congress declared the independence of the 13 colonies from Great Britain 249 years ago, freedom was foremost in their minds, but they didn't come up with the idea of freedom. In every age and across the world, human beings have yearned to breathe free. 3,000 years before Thomas Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence, the Hebrew people suffered from bondage in Egypt. They yearned for freedom. God sent a man named Moses who demanded of Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh refused, and God delivered. 1,000 years after that, the people were again oppressed both by the Roman Empire and by the powers of sin. And God sent a man named Jesus. He proclaimed that he had been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. The same liberating Jesus would later say to his closest followers, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." There are more than 50 references to freedom in the New Testament, each of them exploring what Paul calls in his letter to the Romans the glorious liberty of the children of God. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, however, the debate about freedom was not so glorious. It seems as if the church in Galatia was divided into camps. One side believed that freedom meant license to do whatever you pleased. The other side thought, well, freedom in Christ was probably all well and good, but they felt much more secure just following the old rituals and rules. Paul was trying to convey something very different. "You are called to freedom in Christ," he told them, "but the highest expression of that freedom is to love one another." 20th century religious thinker Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, "Basically, love means being responsible. Responsible to our family, responsible toward our civilization, and toward the whole universe of humankind." Freedom in Christ is freedom for responsibility, not freedom from it. To be truly free is to be able to move beyond the self into the risk of loving service. Marian Preminger was born in Hungary in 1913, raised in a castle with her aristocratic family, surrounded with maids and tutors and governesses and butlers and chauffeurs. Their dining room table could seat 82 people. Her grandmother, who lived with them, insisted that whenever they travel, they take their own linen, because she believed it was beneath their dignity to sleep between sheets used by common people. While attending school in Vienna, Marian met a handsome young Viennese doctor, and they fell in love and eloped and married when she was just 18. That marriage lasted only a year. Then she began her life as an actress. And while auditioning for a play in Vienna, she met the brilliant young German director, Otto Preminger. They fell in love and soon married. They moved to America, where he began his career as a movie director. Marian began to live the rather scandalous life that was typical of Hollywood in those days, and soon divorced again. She returned to Paris to live the life of a socialite. And then in 1948, she learned through the newspaper that Albert Schweitzer, the man she had read about as a little girl, was in Europe raising funds for his missionary work in Africa. He was staying in a little village called Gunsbach. On a whim, Marian called to see if she could get an appointment to see him. She was granted a visit the next day. She went and found Schweitzer playing Bach on the organ in the village church. She just sat and listened for a while until he noticed her. Marian introduced herself. Schweitzer asked, "Can you read music?" Marian said yes. He asked her to be his page turner as he played the organ, and later asked her to stay for dinner with his family. By the end of the day, she knew that she had discovered what she had been looking for all her life. She remained with the family, and when Albert returned to Africa, he invited her to come to the town of Lambourine and work in the hospital. She did, and she found her life. There in Lambourine, the girl who was born in a castle and raised like a princess, who was accustomed to being waited on and every luxury, became a servant. She changed bandages. She bathed babies. She fed lepers. And finally, she became free. When she died in 1979, the New York Times carried her obituary, which included this statement from her: Albert Schweitzer said there are only two classes of people in the world, the helpers and the non-helpers. I am a helper. The Apostle Paul would not be at all surprised that in the freedom of loving service, with all of its hardships, Marian found more satisfaction than she had in the freedom of self-indulgence. My friends, we have a high calling to freedom in Christ. That means we have an opportunity, a responsibility to repair, to raise up, to build up, to offer hope and help for those who mourn and suffer in our midst and beyond our shores. This is the glorious use of the freedom God has given us. Learned Hand, who was one of our country's most outstanding judges in the 20th century, once asked himself, "What is the spirit of liberty?" In answer, he wrote these words: "The spirit of liberty is the spirit which seeks to understand the minds of other people. It weighs their interests alongside its own. It remembers that not even a sparrow falls to earth unheeded. The spirit of liberty is the spirit of Jesus, who 2,000 years ago taught humanity a lesson it has never learned but never quite forgotten, that there may be a kingdom where the least shall be heard and considered side by side with the greatest." Let's hear again the words of Paul. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves, become servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." May it be so. In the name of Jesus, amen.